Do we have any sense of what would happen to the 800,000 people in the program currently, who really the Obama administration encouraged to come out from the shadows and register? They're far more vulnerable now than they were before the program began.
Yeah, without question. In fact, we're looking now at the second generation of some of these folks. Many of these DACA recipients who came here, average age 7, many of them are now parents, and their children are U.S. citizens because they were born here. So that presents a whole different set of questions. To answer your question, what if the Trump administration won? First of all, I don't think we're going to get a ruling until maybe the spring. Secondly, I assume that the government would do an orderly shutdown, as it did, wanted to do in 2017 when it tried to shut the program down, which is to say that, you know, you have to re-register for this every 2 years, and after that two-year period lapsed, then those people would be subject to deportation, but not necessarily deported. Even if the government wanted to deport all of these 800,000, it just doesn't have the manpower to do it. The effect would be, of course, is to make them wonder every time there was a knock at the door. And then another question is, if the Supreme Court really does strike DACA down or agree that it's illegal, would that make Congress more likely to do something? And your guess there is as good as mine.
Seriously, dude, this is unbelievable that, you know, 9 guys and girls in robes are dealing in their little hands today are the futures of 800,000 people who cannot even have misdemeanors on their record to be covered by this DREAM Act, right? The DACA program. I mean, it's so unbelievable. So Donald Trump stands on a stage and he howls at the moon and he says that they're all criminals and this is bad. And the truth is that you can't be in the DACA program if you have any crime. You can't even have a traffic ticket. You know, you can't. This is mind blowing. And here are the stats on the DACA recipients. 90% of them are employed. They pay taxes. 50% of those all of them, of the 800,000, half are still in school. 90% of them are employed. These are people who have done nothing wrong. These are people who have educated themselves. These are people who serve in various positions as doctors, as there's a guy, he's a county attorney in Texas, and he said, I represent the government, but the government doesn't represent me. So you've got doctors, you've got attorneys, you've got preschool teachers, you've got special ed teachers, you've got kids, basically, who came here before they were 16 and before 2007. That's who's in the DACA program with absolutely no criminal records, none whatsoever. And the Supreme Court is going to hear this argument. Well, they heard this argument today, and nobody, it's basically anybody's guess. But if you ask me, it's going to come down to Chief Justice Roberts. He's now the swing vote, you know. So we won't get we're not going to get a decision, obviously, until the Supreme Court, you know, starts putting out their decisions right now. Like I said yesterday, this is the oral. This is oral, which is gross when you consider Brett Kavanaugh is on there and Clarence, right? To have to do oral with the, but that's what happened. They gave it 90 minutes of their time today. The people who were allowed in the courtroom, they are reporting out that the conservatives were like for rescinding and the liberals were not for rescinding. And it all comes down to Justice Roberts.
The question comes down to this, Stephanie. If President Obama could establish this by executive order, why can't President Trump just shut it down without the courts weighing in? That's really the question. Now, the DACA defenders, and you showed them coming out of the court a moment ago and getting a big cheer from the hundreds and hundreds of people out in the Supreme Court, out in front of the court today, so many that they actually closed down the street in front of the court between the Supreme Court and the Capitol building. Their argument is this, that if President Trump had actually done what the law requires, which is to explain why he was shutting it down, he would be forced to own the decision and take responsibility for it. But they say the Trump administration didn't want to do that. It simply said, we have to shut it down because it's illegal. So their argument is, number one, it's not illegal. And number two, if the government actually had to own it and take responsibility for it, who knows how this would come out. And besides, the law requires them to do that. But the Trump administration argued today, no, this is an exercise of discretion. Just like when the new police chief comes to town and says, I'm going to enforce the drug laws more strictly, or I'm going to not arrest people for possessing small amounts of marijuana. Those are discretionary decisions that can't be reviewed by the courts. So those are the two arguments that we heard today for an hour and 20 minutes. And I think it's fair to say that the court's four more liberal justices are inclined to say that the Trump administration acted wrongly when it shut down DACA by simply saying it's illegal. And the more conservative justices took the opposite view. It did seem that the majority, a bare majority of the court, was willing to agree with the Trump administration here.
Uh-oh.
The only question in my mind is the Chief Justice John Roberts, might he join the liberals as he did last term when the court said that the government didn't adequately explain why it wanted to put a census question, or rather a citizenship question, on the 2020 census form.
So there you have it. Our entire 700,000 people's lives depend on Justice Roberts. One man, one man. This is just bizarre world. This is really, really crazy. Here is the issue, okay? And I just want you to keep this in mind as we discuss this, if we are going to discuss this. The administration is required by law. And this goes for the impeachment effort that begins tomorrow. Today is the day before tomorrow, right? And tomorrow, millions of Americans are going to be trained on the TV. Everybody's going to be watching impeachment. But I want you to understand the issues here are the same. If the president of the United States wants to rescind an executive order by a previous president of the United States, he is required by law to state his reason. And the Trump administration did not do this. The same issue is at play with regard to this impeachment inquiry. If the president wanted to withhold Ukrainian humanitarian and military aid, he was required by law to write a reason down. He did not do that in either case. My suspicion is he doesn't have a reason, except that he wants to trade human lives, both in Ukraine and 700,000 young people here in this country. He wants to trade human lives for his own political advancement. In Ukraine, he was willing to sacrifice Ukrainian lives for his own political advancement, dirt on Biden, a specific request. And in this case, for his stupid wall. Now, how do I know that? Because he has said it out loud so many freaking times. They have asked him, would you do an immigration deal without a wall? And he's like, no, and I'm going to trade DACA.
Would you be willing to sign an immigration deal that ultimately does not include funding for the border wall? Or would that be a red line for you?
No. It's got to include the wall. We need the wall for security. We need the wall for safety. We need the wall for stopping the drugs from pouring in. I would imagine that the people in the room, both Democrat and Republican, I really believe they're going to come up with a solution to the DACA problem, which has been going on for a long time, and maybe beyond that, immigration as a whole. But any solution has to include the wall, because without the wall, it all doesn't work. You can look at other instances. Look at what happened in Israel. They put up the wall. They say it solved a very major
Israel.
Problem. We need the wall. We have to have the wall for security purposes. Security is number one. And so the answer is have to have the wall. Thank you.
F you. So 700,000 people are holding their breath. You know, they walked, a lot of the dreamers walked to Washington, D.C. They walked. I mean, he's a horrible guy with horrible ways of doing things and horrible results from all of his horrible policies. And, you know, he just wants to be able to stand on the campaign trail and say he ended DACA. That's it. No other reason. Same thing with Ukraine. He just wanted to say they were corrupt and they got dirt on Joe Biden from Ukraine. Trading on human lives.
All things Randy at randyrhodes.com.
Go for launch.
Speaking truth to power, the Randy Rhodes Show.
So this is rich. Here's Donald Trump arguing, that if Obama could do it, then I can undo it, right? But a million people now rely on DACA, so he does need to provide an explanation.
If the Supreme Court rules that President Obama was wrong, which they should, because, by the way, if he was right, then I've been given tremendous power. Uh-huh. Can you imagine me having that power?
I thought you did.
Wouldn't that be scary? Right? No, if President Obama is allowed to do what he did on DACA, then I'm allowed to do whatever I want to do on things that, you know, probably a president, as he said, probably a president doesn't have the right to do. By the way, if the Supreme Court would do a great favor to this country, if they would say the president should not have done that, we will settle this whole thing, including really a big immigration policy, not just border security, which is very important, because we would do something with DACA. A lot of the Republicans, most Republicans, are fine with some deal on DACA. DACA is okay. These are people that have been in the country a long time. In many cases, they don't even speak the language of the country from which their parents came.
I don't understand him. I really do not. But that was 2017. And of course, Mitch McConnell refused to bring up the DACA issue. You know, there was this meeting in the White House where Dianne Feinstein famously said to Donald Trump, would you do a clean DACA bill without the wall? Oh, yeah, sure, sure. And Mark Meadows said, whoa, no, 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 no. And then the president of the United States literally shut down the government after that. Shut down the government for 3 weeks so that air traffic controllers did not get paid, and they got paid incrementally after he opened the government because he wanted to trade the DACA kids, almost a million people, for his stupid wall money. And Mitch McConnell refused to do anything on DACA, refused because he said the president won't make it clear. And if the president says he was in favor of DACA, then we would do DACA. But the president didn't say he was in favor of DACA. He doesn't make himself clear.
The presidency under our constitutional system is not irrelevant. He is the person who signs things into law. And for most of us in the House and Senate on the Republican side, we're interested in what his views are. And those have not been made fully apparent yet. What we have before us deals with a real emergency. Tomorrow night at midnight, what our friends on the other side are pushing, not an emergency. Doesn't have anything to do with what's before us. Completely irrelevant to the issue of avoiding a government shutdown and taking care of 300 million Americans, most of whom depend on the government in one way or another.
Wait a minute. So 300, we depend on the government one way or another. Okay, so now he's pro-government, Mitch McConnell is, when he's defending the president's, you know, craziness about DACA. And of course, the president isn't clear about what he wanted to do on DACA. And that's why the Supreme Court should say the president is ill-equipped to rescind an executive order, because he has no clear idea where he stands on this one way or the other, as related to us by the Senate Majority Leader. And then he shut the government down because he was going to trade these people's lives for his stupid wall, which he promised his cult, Mexico, was going to pay for. I mean, this is just, this is what an incoherent, inconsistent, know-nothing, infantile, grudge-holding, I hit back kind of president does with people's lives in the balance. This is the kind of decision-making, lack of decision-making, that you can expect from Donald Trump every single day. All right? So the issue is the same. What's the reason? Why didn't he give a reason? Why didn't Congress act? Because the president told Mitch McConnell he wouldn't, you know, he didn't know what his opinion was. So Mitch McConnell said, oh, well, I'm only bringing up things that the president says he'll sign. The president would not sign DACA because the president needs to stand up at political rallies in Louisiana and Alabama. And he needs to call all these DACA recipients criminals, as he did this week. He stands there and he says they're criminals. They're criminals, they're rapists, they're murderers, and that is untrue. You cannot be a dreamer. You cannot get DACA protection from deportation if you have any criminal record. You can't even have a misdemeanor. So the president is a liar. The president's word means nothing. The president never gives a reason because he doesn't want to put his signature on anything, nothing, except for a tax cut for the very wealthy and sticking us with the $2 trillion bill. That is the only thing that this man was willing to put his name on. So there you have it. And the Supreme Court isn't going to decide probably till the summer. That's when you get all the major decisions. And just so you know, they spent a whopping 1 hour, an hour and 10 minutes or something, 90 minutes on this, an hour and a half on this. Almost a million people's lives. OK, and it's all going to come down to Justice Roberts. It's just so sick. It's just so sick. So, you know, knowing. OK, here's the record in the other federal courts. OK, the federal courts so far have said that DACA is not illegal, that Obama had the, you know, look, President Trump says this, that Article 2 gives him the power to do whatever he wants. So this argument that he has, oh, well, if they say that, you know, well, Obama could do whatever he wanted and he wanted to give protections to young people. Well, can you imagine me with that kind of power? He already takes that kind of power for himself. He claims anybody that worked for him ever has a lifetime of immunity that follows them, that they can never testify about anything ever. They are, you know, immune from subpoenas. They're immune from the law. They're immune from having to show up. They're immune from having to answer questions. He applies this to Don McGahn. He applies this to Mick Mulvaney. He applies this to Giuliani. He applies this to Giuliani doesn't even work in the government. He applies this to Pompeo. He applies this to John Kelly. He applies this to nobody is allowed to say anything that they saw or heard or whatever. Because he has, you know, under the Article 2, he's got power to do whatever he wants. This is just a very sick presidency. It truly is. So, you know, in our system of democracy, okay, he needs to draft a memo that adequately explains his policy reasoning whenever he seeks to shift policies of the United States of America. And he did not do that on Ukraine. Why? Why didn't he do that on Ukraine? Why didn't he put a policy memo in saying I'm withholding? Because he didn't want anybody to know that he was shaking down and extorting Ukraine. He didn't want anybody to know that he was using $400 million taxpayer dollars as bait for his personal elevation in politics to get dirt on a U.S. citizen, to get dirt on a U.S. citizen and his son. He didn't want anybody to know, so he didn't put a policy forward explaining why he would, you know. And it's the same thing with DACA. He didn't write a policy memo saying he wished to change it and here's why. They're criminals or whatever. Because he doesn't have a reason except to trade human lives wherever they might live for his own personal political advantage. That's an abuse of power.
Call in, connect. To speak to Randy, call 561-270-3844. 561-270-3844.
You think ultimately the president will be impeached and removed from office?
No. On what? You're going to impeach a president for asking for a favor that didn't happen and giving money and it wasn't withheld? I don't know what you would impeach him on. And look, Nora, impeachment is like the death penalty for a public official.
What?
When you look at the transcript, there's nothing in that transcript that warrants the death penalty for the president.
Oh my God.
And I think that,
to be clear, it was not a complete transcript. There are still things that are missing from it. And in that, he does say, I would like you to do us a favor, though.
The Ukrainians never did the investigation, and the president released the funds.
Oh my God.
I mean, when you look at those, there's just nothing impeachable there. And more than that, I think the biggest thing that bothers me is the American people should decide this. Why do we have a bunch of people in Congress making this decision?
What? Why? Because that's what the Constitution requires, Nikki. That's why. Impeachment belongs to the House of Representatives. It's in Article 1. These Republicans are shameless. They truly are. Here's Nikki Haley trying to straddle both sides of the fence, okay? And this is disgusting because here she is trying to figure out whether Trumpism will die with Donald Trump or will it continue into 2024. And she has concluded for herself that it will continue into 2024. And so she doesn't want to say that Donald Trump was extorting a U.S. ally for his own political hopes and dreams, that he was asking Ukraine to illegally investigate an American citizen, right, for his own political gain by using $400 million in taxpayer money as something to dangle in front of people who were fighting a, and still are losing people in this war against Russian aggression. What was illegal about it? Why? What are you going to impeach him for? For that, Nikki, for using American taxpayer dollars to blackmail, to extort, to bribe a newly elected anti-corruption president from not being corrupt. He wanted to corrupt Ukraine. Plus, there's this whole Rudy Giuliani thing where Rudy Giuliani was also using American taxpayer dollars. How dare he? As bait to drum up new business for himself in places like Romania and Ukraine, where he was already operating, right? And also dangling this money for political dirt on an American citizen. You know, there is at all the U.S. embassies FBI personnel. And why are they at all U.S. embassies? Because if an American citizen does criminal things in a country that is a federal crime against us, then the FBI would be the proper place to investigate something like that there. But, you know, she is just playing this very dangerous game of, I don't want to trash Trump because I have a brilliant political future ahead of me. That is just disgusting. So let's just, move away from her, because, frankly, I am shocked and appalled at her defense of a man who clearly is, using ordinary people's lives as bait, our taxpayer dollars as bait to dangle pardons, as dangling things that he can use, powers he doesn't even have to tell people not to testify. You know, here's the question. If Donald Trump is so innocent, if nothing untoward was going on in Ukraine, okay, then why is he hiding everything? Why was the phone call put in a secure server? Why did multiple people go running to lawyers at the National Security Agency? Why did people go running to lawyers at the CIA? Why did they go running to the Inspector General at the intelligence community? Why won't he let Mulvaney testify? Why won't he let Giuliani testify? Why can't Mike Pompeo testify? Why can't Kelly testify? Why can't Tillerson testify? Why can't Reince Priebus testify? Okay, why can't anybody come forward and say whatever it is they know or say they didn't know? Or why can't Don McGahn, whose name is mentioned hundreds of times in the Mueller report, why can't he come and testify? Because the president is hiding everything. Because the president has done so many illegal things. Okay? And that is the long and short of it. So let's prepare ourselves for tomorrow. Okay? And I want you to understand how this is going to look and how this is going to go. First thing you need to know, this thing's going to start at 9 o'clock Eastern time. 6 o'clock in the freaking morning in California. Good luck with that. I mean, it's just so unbelievable. Second, Donald Trump is going to try to steal the spotlight from the impeachment proceedings. He is having this autocrat from Turkey who bought Russian missile systems in violation of our agreement with them and NATO allies. I mean, Turkey is a NATO ally as of this minute. And they went and they bought a missile system from Russia. Under our law, that means Erdogan should be under sanctions right now, American sanctions, and not being invited to the White House. So that's the first thing. Erdogan is in violation of U.S. law, and he is coming to the United States tomorrow to sit in the Oval Office with the president, who's going to do one of these off the rails freaking, press conferences to try and get you to stop watching the impeachment hearings, which are going to be very legal, because most of the questioning will be done by lawyers. So that's the first thing you need to know, is how tomorrow's going to look. He is going to have Erdogan to the White House. Erdogan is going to announce that he's deporting all these ISIS fighters and he's sending them back to Europe, which is so scary to me that he's just going to do that and that, you know, these people are going to be let go. There's 90,000 of them in Syria. We don't have any idea who's guarding them anymore because the Kurds have been relieved of duty. This man, Erdogan, has totally destroyed national security for the United States single-handedly, and Donald Trump went along with it. This man should be under U.S. sanctions for buying a Russian missile system, and instead Donald Trump wants him to buy more F-35s so that Russia can see how F-35s work and counter. This is just such a sick presidency, I can't even stand it, okay? So that's the beginning of what's going to happen tomorrow. On the other side of the break, I will tell you how the questioning is going to go. It's going to look a little different than what you've seen before with the five-minute rule. This is going to operate completely off of the five-minute rule up until, at the beginning. And then it will revert to the stupid five-minute rule where you can expect that all these GOP people are going to speechify. I doubt there'll be a question for Bill Taylor, an ambassador for 37 years of Vietnam vet, in their future. I doubt there'll be a question for any of the witnesses tomorrow, George Kent. Okay? I just don't think that they have any questions for these people who have already been deposed and are going to tell you that the president was secretly doing this to benefit himself. So they'll make speeches, but let me tell you who's who and what to expect at the beginning.
This is the Randy Rhoads Show. To speak with Randy, dial 561-270-3844. That's 561-270-3844.
All right, breaking overnight, CNN has obtained this internal memo circulated by House Republicans outlining the four main points Republican lawmakers plan to push to defend the president as the impeachment inquiry goes public tomorrow. I want to bring in Jeremy Dimon, CNN White House correspondent, and Jennifer Rogers, CNN legal analyst and former federal prosecutor. And I will always issue this disclaimer. I'm not a lawyer, but I don't think I need to be one to be astonished by how weak these four main assertions are by the congressional Republicans here. Number one, the July 25th call shows no conditionality. Well, you don't need conditionality.
You only need to
read the president pushing or coercing the leader of Ukraine to investigate the Bidens. Plus, mountains of evidence suggest there was conditionality, well known and implied, over the 2 months of the summer. Zelensky and Trump said there was no pressure on the call. Donald Trump, not a reliable witness in this case. And Zelensky, not either. He needs the United States as an ally. The Ukrainian government was not aware of the hold of aid on the July 25th call. That may be true. However, they were aware into August.
Right.
And also they were aware that a meeting was being held up by the two leaders. And number three, the security hold was lifted on September 11th. Yeah, after the White House knew about the whistleblower report. Now, I've been looking at this, Jen, and it is the most comprehensive defense that Republicans have issued. That in of itself is interesting, and they have some interesting evidence and arguments here, but if those are their four main points, they don't have a lot to argue.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, as we were discussing earlier, to me, it seems like what they're really doing is more saying, listen, the Mueller report kind of collapsed upon itself because it was too complex, too complicated, too many facts, too many different tangents. I think they're trying to do the same thing here, right? All these witnesses are testifying. Each has a different view, is bringing different facts to the table. The more they can throw out there a bunch of different facts and well, you know, that's not true. This other thing is true. We're worried about corruption. We're worried about all this stuff. It kind of complicates and muddles the narrative, which had been very simple at the start. I think that's part of what they're doing here.
Yes, they're trying to confuse you with, you know, extraneous BS. This is what Nikki Haley was doing, okay? But here's how it's going to work tomorrow. So there's going to be 45 minutes for the Democrats and 45 minutes for the Republican side at the outset. So the chairman, obviously, is Devin Nunes. This is being handled in the Intelligence Committee, not the Judiciary Committee. So the chairman, obviously, Devin Nunes, will have 45 minutes. In that 45 minutes, he is allowed to yield time, as you know, I yield my time to the gentleman from, right? He's allowed to yield time to anybody he wants. And the person that he is going to yield time to, there will be probably two people, will be a Democratic prosecutor, Daniel Goldman, who you've never heard of, but you will know tomorrow. He is the Intelligence Committee's Director of Investigations. And it seems like Daniel Goldman will have a chance to question the witness, the first witness up tomorrow, who is Bill Taylor, and then also George Kent. These are two Foreign Service officers with, between them, almost 100 years experience being foreign officers, like 37 years over here and 40 years over there, something like that, okay? The other prosecutor you will be introduced to tomorrow on behalf of the Democrats is a man named Dan Noble. I want you to know both of these prosecutors came out of SDNY, which is considered to be one of the great prosecutorial entities in the United States of America, because they handle Wall Street, they handle financial crimes, they handle cyber crimes, they handle terrorism cases. They handle the most influential and important matters that the United States seems to have to do, okay? And both of these men are prosecutors formally from SDNY, okay? Now, Daniel, they're both named Daniel, okay? So the two Dans tomorrow, you'll have a Goldman and you'll have a Noble, Goldman and Noble. So both these Dans come from SDNY. Both of them are prosecutors. Noble specializes in cyber crime and organized crime. He's a mob guy. He's also a cyber expert. Goldman is a intelligence prosecutor. He is the lead prosecutor on the for the Intelligence Committee. All right, the other side, Devin Nunes. Devin Nunes is the ranking member, as you know, of the Intelligence Committee. Why? I have no idea. This man leaks like a sieve. This man lies. He's the one that ran over to the White House, got information from Trump that Trump believed he was being wiretapped and pretended that he gave that information to Trump. But it was exactly the other way around, and this man still sits on the Intelligence Committee. But Devin Nunes is probably going to yield to their lawyer. Their lawyer is a guy named Steve Castor. Steve Castor is not attached to the Intelligence Committee at all. Steve Castor comes to us from the Oversight Committee. So expect the first 45 minutes of Schiff's time. I'm sure Schiff will do an opening statement, and then I'm sure he will yield plenty of time to these two prosecutors to question these witnesses. Right after that, 45 minutes will be awarded to Devin Nunes, and he will probably make his opening statement and then give control to Steve Castor from the Oversight Committee. Now, all these three lawyers have been in the depositions. Contrary to Republican claims that there was nobody from the Republican side invited, there were 100 members of the GOP who were allowed to attend these depositions. Lawyers were invited to these depositions, and these are the lawyers that were participating in these depositions, okay? So that's what the first 45 minutes will look like. After that, they revert to the stupid five-minute rule, which is not cohesive and not conducive to telling a story. Expect that the Democrats will ask some decent questions. Expect that the Republicans will speechify. I doubt that they will have any questions for either of these witnesses, Taylor or Kent. I really do. Because if they prepare, which I doubt they will, that means that they will have read the transcripts of their testimony, and they will know that these people are not there to exculpate the President of the United States. They will understand that Bill Taylor, George Kent, understood that there was this secret extortion that the president didn't want his name attached to for his own political benefit occurring with Ukraine. Also, I want you to know that yesterday there was testimony from somebody who will not be part of tomorrow, okay? But I hope that they eventually do call her. Her name is Laura Cooper, and she is the Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense. She is tasked to Russia, Ukraine, and Eurasia matters. And she testified under oath that there was a certification, and this is something the Republicans do not want you to know. They're going to pound the table because they don't have the law on their side, because the president did not write a memo saying why he was doing this, because he was doing it in secret. So there is no explanation for why he was holding up this money, which is required by law. If Congress appropriates money, then it has to be spent. And if the president didn't want to spend it, then he had to say why. That was not done, just like in DACA. That was not done. But they're going to argue that it was about corruption. It was about corruption. Now, we all know he was only interested in one company, Burisma, and one person, Hunter Biden, with regard to corruption. So let me tell you right now at the outset that that is a lie, because yesterday, Laura Cooper, the Assistant Deputy Secretary of Defense for Russia and Ukraine, testified that there was a certification process to see if Ukraine was complying with anti-corruption measures that the United States and the Western world, the NATO allies, the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, and the EU required. There was a certification process, and guess what? They passed with flying colors. They were certified compliant with all anti-corruption activities and policies that were required of them to attract international investment by our Department of Defense, our State Department, our U.S. Embassy, General Dayton, a retired general, General Dayton, and the United States Congress. So please try and keep that in mind. And also try and keep in mind that this was a months-long effort that was undertaken to extort Ukraine. Months-long. It wasn't just about a phone call where he asked them to do this. It was months-long.
Mary had a little man, the fault.
We believe that all men are created equal.
To the magnificent mosaic that is America.
From radio beacon to radio beacon.
I have a dream today.
Change has come to America.
Believe it.
Knock, knock. Who's there?
Hey! It's a figment of your imagination.
Randy Rhoads Show.
Turn up your mind.
Why you are not allowing people like Mick Mulvaney and others to comply with your subpoenas.
I don't want to give credibility to a corrupt witch hunt.
Oh, God.
I'd love to have Mick go up, frankly. I think he'd do great. I'd love to have him go up. I'd love to have almost every person go up when they know me. What I don't like is when they put all these people that I never met before. When they put the head of the Never Trumpers on the stand.
Who?
And even those people were okay. They were fine. Those are the people, I never even heard of.
Oh, my God.
The people that I know, I would love to have them go up. Now, the rest is up to the lawyers. I have to do what the lawyers say to a certain extent. Not always, but, you know, to a certain extent. But I will tell you, I like to have the people go up. Except one thing. It validates a corrupt investigation. Adam Schiff, he's a corrupt politician.
In what
he's
way?
He's as corrupt as you'll ever see.
Why?
When he makes up my words and reads fake words to Congress, and he acts so innocent. He's a corrupt politician. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, and when you say that the transcript is a transcript, comma for comma, you're a freaking liar too, because that transcript was completely edited. In fact, when he tells you to read the transcript, go look at it, and you will see that it actually says this is not a transcript. It says that this is a memo with ellipses where great chunks of the conversation were left out. And Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, whose service to this nation, he is denigrating there by calling him a never-Trumper, which is ridiculous. His brother, I mean, the two Vindmans have done nothing but serve this country. His brother is the head of the ethics department at the White House. The two of them are literally observing their oath to this country in the most tangible way possible by just not being political at all and just telling the truth about what was left out of that transcript and the concerns that they had when they heard the president extorting an ally who had met all of the anti-corruption protocols and standards set forth by this here country. I mean, this is just an amazing piece of testimony. Let me just show you what Cooper testified to under oath yesterday, and she, again, is the Assistant Secretary of Defense for Ukraine and Russia and Eurasia, right? So they were talking about that the Defense Department, in coordination with what they call interagency, meaning DOD, State Department, Justice Department, all this, right? So the Department of Defense, in coordination with interagency, certified in May 2019 that Ukraine met the anti-corruption benchmarks set by the Pentagon that made it eligible to receive security assistance. Answer, yes, done. See, this is not, this is not rocket science here. There, obviously, our government, our Department of Defense, our State Department, the Ukrainian Minister of Defense, everybody in Ukraine, everybody in the United States, everybody at the U.S. Embassy, they all have jobs to do. And their job is centered around bringing emerging democracies into the West. And how do they do that? If there's a country that was corrupt under a guy named Viktor Yanukovych, who was a Putin puppet, and the people of Ukraine literally risked their lives to get him gone, and they were successful, and they died doing it, but they were successful, and he flees back to Russia, and then you get an interim president or another president named Poroshenko, who claims he's going to do corruption reform and doesn't do it, and instead hires another dirty prosecutor who's going to look the other way with regard to corruption. The United States then decertifies or certifies that they are meeting the benchmarks for anti-corruption efforts that are required in order for Ukraine to become part of NATO, in order for Ukraine to receive defense assistance, in order for Ukraine to receive humanitarian assistance from the United States. The president is lying when he tells you that, or pretends that there is no giant apparatus, no benchmarks that are set, no obligations that countries must rise to and meet in order to receive this, money. She testifies that they were certified. She said, suffice it to say, this certification memorializes that Ukraine had met all necessary anti-corruption requirements, as well as other benchmarks. The president is lying. And he did it for his own personal gain. He used our national security position. He used our taxpayer dollars. He used money appropriated by Congress to shake down, to extort a country that he felt should be willing to play ball with him. And the ball he wanted played was for Ukraine to say that they hacked us during the 2016 election. That CrowdStrike dumped the server in Ukraine, which is a debunked conspiracy theory. and that they would step up to a microphone, go on CNN, which was arranged. Zelensky had arranged to do a sit down with Fareed Zakaria on Fareed Zakaria's Sunday show, Fareed Zakaria GPS. And he was going to say to the world that Ukraine was opening up an investigation into Hunter Biden in order to be able to defend his country from Russian aggression. That's how bad it got. And that's where we are. And that is illegal. And everything that the Republicans are going to say tomorrow about, oh, corruption, he was concerned about corruption. He didn't need to be concerned about corruption. Okay, because they had met all the benchmarks. They had met all of the anti-corruption requirements as set forth by the United States in order to receive this aid. And that happened and was done by May of 2019. And Zelensky did not take office till May 23rd. So, I got to tell you, what Trump wanted was something very selfish and very self-centered. What Trump wanted was a bogus lie of an investigation to be launched in Ukraine against his political rival, who happens to be a United States citizen. That is vile. What Trump also says to you as Americans, and I will constantly bring this up because Trump says under Article 2, he could shoot you on Fifth Avenue and get away with it. Trump claims that as president of the United States, he could kill you. Why would people respond to a president who says he's allowed to kill you? Vladimir Putin pushes people off of balconies. Vladimir Putin injects people with or smears poison on their doorknobs. Vladimir Putin gives people polonium. The United States does not do this. The United States doesn't dismember people with bone saws. But the president says he could, and he could kill you. Where are all these freedom lovers, these liberty lovers? Where are all the people that say that this is a nation of checks and balances, that this is a, you know, and the president claims these awesome powers for himself that he does not have. He cannot dangle pardons, okay? It's called witness tampering. He cannot shoot people on Fifth Avenue. He can't kill American citizens. He also can't ask foreign governments to investigate American citizens. He also can't hold up duly appropriated funds for a country that has met all anti-corruption requirements and exceeded the benchmarks necessary for the release of funds without telling anybody why. Because he didn't want his name on it. He can't say to Don McGahn, you can't testify. He can't tell Mulvaney not to testify. He can't tell Rick Perry not to show up. This is all obstruction of justice. This is an abuse of his power. And rather than duke it out in the courts, the House has said, screw it, we got enough now. We're moving forward.
All things Randy at randyrhodes.com.
Go for launch.
Speaking truth to power, the Randy Rhodes Show.
Whoops. Here's Mick Mulvaney confessing.
Did he also mention to me in the past that the corruption related to the DNC server? Absolutely.
Oh,
no question
God.
About that. But that's it. And that's why we held up the money. Now, there was a report.
So the demand for an investigation into the Democrats was part of the reason that he ordered to withhold funding to Ukraine.
The look back to what happened in 2016 certainly was part of the thing that he was worried about in corruption with that nation. And that is absolutely appropriate.
Withholding the funding.
Yeah.
To be clear, what you just described is a quid pro quo.
Hello.
It is funding will not flow unless the investigation into the Democratic server happened as well.
We do that all the time with foreign policy.
Oh,
what did
no.
McKinney say yesterday? Well, McKinney said yesterday that he was really upset with the political influence in foreign policy. That was one of the reasons he was so upset about this. And I have news for everybody. Get over it. There's going to be political influence in foreign policy. I'm talking to Mr. Carl. That is going to happen. Elections have consequences, and foreign policy is going to change from the Obama administration to the Trump administration. So you're saying that President of the United States, the chief law enforcement person, cannot ask somebody to cooperate with an ongoing public investigation into wrongdoing? That's just bizarre to me that you would think that you can't do that. The money held up had absolutely nothing to do with Biden. There's no question. And that was the point I made to you.
And you're drawing a distinction. You're saying that it would be wrong. Three
factors. Again, I was involved with the process by which the money was held up temporarily. Three issues for that. The corruption in the country.
Oh, my God.
Whether or not other countries were participating in the support of the Ukraine and whether or not they were cooperating in an ongoing investigation with our Department of Justice. That's completely legitimate.
Did the president direct you or anyone else to work with Rudy Giuliani on Ukraine?
When was it? There was the May meeting, and I think this has been widely reported. In fact, I think Sondland mentioned it in his testimony.
Yeah,
and I'm pretty sure that Rick Perry mentioned it in his interview yesterday with the Wall Street Journal, that in the May meeting in the Oval Office that I was in, I think Senator Johnson was there as well as Mr. Volcker was there, the president asked Rick Perry to work with Mr. Giuliani. That's when the president said to Mr. Perry, yeah, go ahead and talk to Rudy.
Go ahead and talk to Rudy. So that is direct evidence linking the president to this this scam, this dangling of foreign aid. Again, the corruption issue is a non-issue. How do I know that? Because there is a process by which countries who are asking for our help have to submit. There's a process they submit to. And here is the testimony yesterday. And you know, listen, I could just see you could pull out this person and that person and this person and that, one from state, one from defense. But they all tell the same story. That's the crazy part. From their point of view, they got to see pieces of this puzzle, which fit completely together. Okay, and that is how you make a case. So you have the Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Russia and Ukraine, Laura Cooper, and they asked her about the corruption stuff. Here's the question to her. Who determines whether these anti-corruption benchmarks have been met? I would think that you would want to know that, right? She said, so that is a question for interagency assessment informed by a number of things, to include my own judgment as Deputy Secretary, the U.S. Embassy team to include the judgment of our key advisors on defense reform. General Dayton, retired General Dayton, is our senior advisor on defense reform. So you pull in all the views of the key experts on Ukraine and you come up with a consensus view, and then we run that up the chain in the Defense Department to ensure we have approval. And then in this case, in May of this year, it was Undersecretary of Defense for Policy John Rood who provided certification to Congress in coordination with the State Department. So the question is, the Department of Defense, in coordination with interagency, certified in May 2019 that Ukraine met the anti-corruption benchmarks set up by the Pentagon to make it eligible to receive security assistance? Answer, yes. This corruption argument is a red herring. Let's not pretend that we're not the most awesome country on this planet. Let's not pretend that we don't have hundreds of thousands of career employees who do this kind of work every single day before money goes out the door. Beatrice in North Carolina.
How you doing, Randy? Watching your program on Free Speech TV.
Thank you.
Right now. I have a very concerning question. It's about the impeachment inquiry about to go public. And there has been some talk amongst conservatives that I have heard of in small groups that they could be ready to do anything to defend this president. And
well, if they're willing to break the law, they will face the bar of justice.
And I mean, let me tell you like this. I mean, these people are just completely insane. I mean, Trump's people are just...
I know they're unhinged. I know they are. But if they break the law, then they will be arrested. It is pretty much that simple. I don't know what they have in mind. I have no idea. Are they going to shoot me? Are they going to come after me? Are they going to come after people like me? Or are they going to go after their own neighbors? I mean, who is it that they're going to kill? I don't know exactly who would be at the other end of their ire, right? I mean, are they going to yell at us? Are they going to scream at us? Are they going to troll us? Or are they going to kill us? If they break the law and they start getting violent, they will go to jail. And they're going to have to ask themselves, is this man who stole from them, who lies to them, who says he can kill them, is he worth it?
I mean, to them, he is. Well, to them, he is worth it for everything, for every morsel in...
Yeah, they talk a strong thing. They like to talk strong. But let's see what happens, because truly, if they start getting violent, they will go to jail for this man.
I mean, this man has cultivated a cult of personality that is unlike any other in history.
Right. And you know, this brings me to this factoid here. So you got all these billionaires that are trying to run for the Democratic nomination. You know, you got your Tom Steyers, you got your Bloombergs, you got your Howard Schultz guys right from Starbucks. Wouldn't it be best if they pooled their money and purchased this propaganda channel, Fox News, which is probably going to be up for sale because Lachlan Murdoch is not going to run it like this?
I mean... Something's got to be done about it.
It does, because propaganda is dangerous, and this country is suffering.
It's dangerous, and it's a terrorist tool.
Yes, truly. It always has been, and there is no question that that's what Fox News does. It's an alternative universe full of lies and smears. I mean, the fact alone that, you know, it actually has... seen violence associated with its rhetoric from the very beginning, from Bill O'Reilly with Dr. Tiller the baby killer, okay? And Terri Schiavo and Sean Hannity sitting outside her hospice.
Call in, connect. To speak to Randy, call 561-270-3844.
561-270-3844.
Okay, and here's our former Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson, saying that the president wanted him to do illegal things.
Our differences were always on tactics. When the president would say, well, here's what I want to do, and here's how I want to do it. And I'd have to say to him, well, Mr. President, I understand what you want to do, but you can't do it that way. It violates the law.
Hello.
It violates a treaty.
Hello.
You know, and he got really frustrated. When we would have those conversations, I said, now here's what we can do. And if you want to do that, we've got to go back to the Congress and we've got to get this law changed. And which is nothing wrong with that. Nothing. And I told him, I'm ready to go up there and fight the fight. If that's what you want to do and you want to change this law, I'll go up there and help you. But I think a lot of it was I didn't know how to conduct my affairs with him any other way than in a very straightforward fashion. And I think he grew tired of me being the guy every day that told him, you can't do that.
I am the chosen one.
See, that is the demagogue in Donald Trump. Donald Trump has no regard for the law. Donald Trump doesn't understand how government works. Donald Trump doesn't understand that there are benchmarks that are set and that there is a process for certifying somebody to receive foreign aid. He doesn't understand that, you know... He doesn't even understand that when refugees come here, it's a 2.5-year process of extreme vetting. Okay, everybody in the world is extremely vetted, except for this man who will not release his tax returns, will not, you know, he violates the recommendations of law enforcement. He violates the recommendations of the intelligence community and the State Department when he says... I'm going to give a clearance to Jared Kushner, and law enforcement says, no, Jared should not receive a security clearance. He's easily manipulated. He needs money very badly. the UAE and Qatar and other governments, you know, Dubai, you know, they're going to manipulate this boy. He should not be privy to. And yet they give him the information. He runs over to Saudi Arabia. He divulges. And then people end up, you know, tortured in the Ritz-Carlton Hotel and dismembered at the Saudi embassy in Turkey. President will then host the Saudis. The president will then host Erdogan from Turkey. Turkey buys, in violation of NATO agreements, Russian missile systems. Still, he will. The president doesn't have any idea what the law is, and he doesn't care. We are not a nation that doesn't care what the law is, or if you don't feel like it. If you break the law, you will be held accountable. And that's what's about to happen tomorrow. And they're going to say, it was about corruption. We want to. I hope I've driven this point home. There are people who sit on that wall for us every day and hold other countries accountable for their corruption and don't give them any help until they meet certain benchmarks. Certain benchmarks allow for this to happen. Certain benchmarks allow that to happen. Then if you reach this benchmark. Also, Rudy Giuliani does not get to defame Maria Jovanovic, who served our country for over 30 years as a foreign service officer. She's not looking to make money. She's not looking to be a lobbyist. She's not looking to cash in or cash out. She has been protecting the United States interests abroad for 30 years. You don't get some punk guy like Rudy Giuliani coming along and giving him $400 million of our money to dangle in front of some, you know, world leaders in order to drum up new business for himself or get dirt on an American citizen for his friend. I'm sorry, you don't get to defame a person who did nothing wrong and served this country so that at 1 o'clock in the morning, she gets a phone call saying, you have to leave Ukraine now. Leave your, she actually was told to leave her belongings. To leave her belongings in Kiev to get on the next flight at 1 o'clock in the morning, her phone rings because you need to protect yourself. They're coming after you. Who are they and what were they going to do to her? We know what Rudy Giuliani did do to her. I'm sorry, but no American citizen gets to play that kind of a role with our taxpayer dollars and then says, I'm just a private citizen. I don't have to testify. Really? What the hell kind of country are you advocating for? Johnny in Detroit.
Hey, Randy, yep. You guys are doing a great job. You know, without Free Speech TV, we'd be in a lot of trouble.
Oh, thanks.
I mean, you remember when John Boehner and them idiots, they had that little meeting when Obama got elected, and they said, we're not going to let him do nothing.
Yeah, and Mitch McConnell said that his first goal was to make him a one-term president.
Oh well, yeah. I mean,
so you know, when they start peddling this BS about how Democrats have been looking to overturn the 2016 election, I get news for you: the Republicans were trying to keep Obama from doing anything the whole time he was there, including appointing a Supreme Court justice when he had more than a year left on his second term. I mean, they are liars, and they twist and maneuver and dissemble and lie and cheat and steal. And it's all for their reelection. Anything that serves them personally is paramount.
Yep.
And whatever helps us is totally tertiary. It's not even secondary. It's tertiary. It's a distant little voice in their head. Oh, Americans need healthcare. Oh, Americans need infrastructure. Oh, Americans need what is their healthcare plan? Oh, Americans are kind of sick of Americans
don't have one.
Americans,
they don't have one.
Americans are sick of making exactly what they made in real dollars in 1970 while the rich have watched their income, there's not even a word for it. 400 times their wealth has been increased. Do you know there's not even a word for that?
It. I've seen these nuts when I was drafted by that crazy guy Nixon.
Oh.
Yeah, I saw this coming. I was only 20. I knew there was something wrong with these people back then. You know, they killed the Kennedys, for God's sake.
Oof.
You know, but this guy's lost his mind. I mean, probably never found it to begin with. Anyway, Cheeto Weenie, did he say that Obama could do anything?
Did he actually say that? Who's Cheeto Weenie?
Don't Agent Orange, Chumpty Dumpty. Did he actually say those words that Obama could do anything, so I can too?
Yes.
Did he actually say stuff like that?
Yeah, he says stuff like that, and then he also says stuff like the Article 2 of the Constitution means I could do whatever I want.
Yeah.
He's about to learn the hard way that this is a nation of laws, is what he's about to learn. He is about to experience what it is to not be an autocrat, what it is to not be a dictator, what it is to not be in a bubble of Trump organization land where your daddy gave you all this money and you could run your scam of a company any way you wanted. No, you are now the president of the United States and the laws actually do apply to you. And the proper place for those laws to be applied to you is indictment in the House of Representatives and removal in the Senate. And you know you're going to tell, oh, they'll never remove, they'll never. You know what? We're going to get on the freaking phone. Oh, yeah. And we're going to go to Washington and we're going to make sure they remove him. Because their election, you know, their election.
This is the Randy Rhoads Show. To speak with Randy, dial 561-270-3844. That's 561-270-3844.
When Nixon abused the power of the presidency, there were those who defended the president, others defended the Constitution.
Now, I'm a Republican. It isn't easy for me to align myself against the president, but it's impossible for me to condone or ignore the long train of abuses to which he has subjected the presidency and the people of this country.
I make my decision on conscience, with no regard to political gain or loss. A Congress interested in preserving and protecting the rights of our people must recognize and condemn misconduct in office wherever it occurred.
These things have happened in our house. It is we, not the Democrats, who must demonstrate that we are capable of enforcing the high standards we would set for them.
No man, not even the President of the United States, is above the law.
Well, that's interesting. That's Republicans for Law and Order. Yeah, that's what that is. That's the TV commercial for Republicans who still believe that, you know, America is a nation of laws, not a nation of a man. Not even men, but a man. And I got to tell you, these people that were around Donald Trump at the very beginning of the Donald Trump administration, oh, he only has the best people and he's got, you know, these amazing general Mad Dog Mattis and H.R. McMaster and these are the best. And now, you know, he trashes everybody around him and they all walk out the door, but they don't drop the dime. They don't speak up. They don't warn America that this man is incompetent, that this man is a child, that this man refuses to read, that he uses the presidency for his own enrichment, for his own, whatever his hopes and dreams and goals and desires are, he will use the full U.S. government to do that. Whatever benefits him, not us, him, not the people, not the states, not party. Just him. Just him. It's a very, strange presidency. But, you know, this brings me to John Bolton. You know, John Bolton, oh, I have to ask the court if I can testify. Are you freaking kidding me, Bolton? You know, you like talking tough on Afghanistan and Iraq and Iran and the UN needs the top 11 floors just taken off. And see, they're all big mouths. You know, they're all tough talkers. But when, the rubber meets the road, they leave skid marks running away. Here's John Bolton, who says, I have information that nobody else has about the abuse of power, about the president using the presidency to enrich himself, about the president using the presidency to get political information on an American citizen in a foreign country. So why don't you just testify? Well, there's 2 million reasons why not. He signed a book deal instead. John Bolton literally will not testify to preserve and protect the United States of America or its Constitution. John Bolton will not tell the American people that we have an impotent child who does not read, who isn't interested in allies or alliances that keep us safe at night. No, John Bolton will sell his story to a publisher for $2 million. So that he can hire a ghostwriter to write a book that no one will ever read. Mick Mulvaney says he will not testify because he's got some sort of privilege that he imagines he, you know, when you stand up at a microphone, Mick, and you confess to a crime as you did in that previous clip we played, you waived all your privilege. You know, once you start talking about the subject matter, then there is no privilege, executive or otherwise, that is intact. If you give testimony, this is why Don McGahn has no immunity. Don McGahn has no privilege. He's already spoken to Mueller. He sat down for hours. None of these people are protected by immunity or privilege claims. Also, remember, there is a corrupt intent exception. You cannot claim privilege to cover up any crime. So they're all lying. They're all cashing in. They're all cheating the American people out of, due process and justice. And the Republicans are going to sit there tomorrow and whine and moan and speechify to protect a president who is completely unworthy of the office he holds. And that's because he breaks the law. Nikki Haley is grotesque to me, really. Everybody has to, George Kent will testify tomorrow that he thought that Donald Trump himself was injurious to the law. Okay, they're all going to say the same thing. They're all going to say that have the same story from different vantage points, but the same damn story. And that story is that there was an anti-corruption procedure that Ukraine had passed with flying colors, that Trump ignored all that, and that he and Rudy Giuliani and Sondland, who was a million-dollar donor, that suddenly Trump doesn't even know. He doesn't know people that give him $1 million. That's amazing. That they are all plotting and conspiring. They're all deep state people. They're all never Trumpers. You got Bill Taylor, who fought in Vietnam. You've got Lieutenant Colonel Vindman. They'll probably close with him, who also, risked his life and was wounded in Iraq. And you're going to have his people. He respects the veterans. Could you please go someplace else with your unaware self? Patrick in Chicago.
Hey, how are you doing, Randy?
I'm good.
Hey, sorry to bother you today, but I just wanted to speak up a little bit about how I find it very, very interesting that Republicans want to cry foul now that actual things of corruption or obstruction of justice have happened in multiple cases over these last few years. And yet when Obama was in office, for some reason or another, they had issues with him wearing a tan suit to the Oval Office. So I'm really wondering, where is their bar? Where is their bar? And I already know that they have no moral compass in their head because they just want to protect what is theirs and a Republican candidate of theirs, especially for 2020 coming forward. But the fact that people are, and I'm sorry to cut you off, and then I'll let you speak here in a second, but to have people come out, like Lindsey Graham come out and say, President Trump couldn't have done it because he's too stupid.
Right.
That is an interesting defense.
Isn't it? Isn't it to stand there in front of the entire globe and to say to the entire universe, where we have enemies, where we have trade negotiations going on that affect real people, real farmers, real importers, people who pay real taxes on real things, to stand there in front of the world and say to the world and the American people that our president, the person in charge of all of this, is too stupid to be organizing anything, including a quid pro quo? I mean...
And by the way, that farming that you brought up,
yeah,
that has actually affected my mother's side of the family down the line that's in here in southern Illinois. That has actually affected my family.
Yeah.
So that drove him out of the farming business. He actually now has to go into a different business because he lost most of what he was doing.
Yeah, I mean, it's really sick and sad. And, that there are now, there's a very big uptick in suicides, not just among vets, which nobody seems to care about, but now farmers. Okay, farmers are committing suicide because they can't pay their bills. They don't know what to plant. They're lost. Their entire world has been just jettisoned. It's been exploded. And, they're trying to, not cave to peer pressure, right? Because everybody in rural America lives in a bubble where Trump is God. I mean, they always say, oh, you know, they always say, oh, you live in a bubble, this one, that, you know, I got news for you. The people that live in cities, they don't live in a bubble. They pay real taxes. They really go to work. They really try hard. They really raise their kids. They really pay for health care. They really, you know, do everything that, people need to do, from child care to elder care to you name it. It's the people in rural America who are in the bubble, okay, because it's nothing but peer pressure.
And Randy, I also wanted to say, from one broadcaster to another, I really appreciate you taking my call, and I appreciate your show. And I
where do you broadcast?
I broadcast it. It's out of Chicago, Illinois. There is 98.3 FM.
Oh.
I do not only a sports and news show, but I am also a PA announcer and a sports and science interviewer on my own show.
Very nice. Very nice. Want to fill in for me?
I've been involved in broadcasting for about 15 years now. So from one to another, I really appreciate you taking my call.
Well, thank you. Thanks for thinking of me. Thanks for calling me. Thanks for your respect. I equally return it to you. It's a hard life, as you know.
Yeah, you have a good day, Randy.
You too, sir. All right, so tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock, 6 a.m. Pacific time, Mountain time, 7. You get to sleep till 7. Everybody's television will obviously be on. It will be everywhere, okay? It'll be on all the cables. It'll be on ABC, NBC, CBS. It's going to be on PBS. It's going to be on C-SPAN. If you like it without any commentary, whatever. Like I said, the first 45 minutes, Adam Schiff, I expect an opening. And then he'll hand off to two prosecutors, both of them from SDNY. One is a mob prosecutor and cybersecurity expert. And the other one is a garden variety prosecutor of violations of the law. And then the Nunes side, they got this guy, Steve Castor. He will probably do the lion's share of the questioning as well. We'll be here at 3 Eastern Time.